live from West Babylon, New York. This is Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome in, folks. Welcome back for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. January 15th, 2017. And you are with Sweeney and the Waz.
2017.
For 60 minutes. We're going to have a third guest host, Howie Carpin from Sirius XM and Major League Baseball will join us for the better part of the hour. But I figured we should start the show with a little monologue from the two sports fans on the mic back together for the first time since the Jets lost to the Steelers back in October, which was the last time I probably cared about their season. Oh. And if you are a Jet fan and an Islander fan, like the man across from me, I have a song for you. Play it from Brian.
Here we go. Here we go.
Let me just say this. If it wasn't for the Islanders winning that playoff series last year,
thank God,
to get that two-decade monkey off their back, I would really be laughing at you inside even more than I do these days. Can I say that much to you?
You could say what you want to say, but I just want to say this, my friend, okay? You are in a lot of trouble. I'll tell you right now, because you're king, Hank.
Well, this isn't about my team yet. We'll get to my team.
No, we're going to get, okay.
This is about your two teams.
Oh, we're going to talk about my, all right,
but
my team.
But now, look, since I've watched what's going on with the Islanders, now I understand why the Florida Panthers fired their coach. Because they're probably disgusted with the fact that he lost to your team last year when he clearly shouldn't.
I have Tavares. Hey, Gartsnow did a horrible job, in my opinion. He took a gamble, and it didn't work out.
The new so I was right.
Team is done. Yes.
Are you ready to tell me that I was right?
Like
well, you guys all thought that the Islanders were going to be better this year, and I said to you that they couldn't upgrade around JT, that it was going to be a big problem. You're willing to accept that that's just a plain, simple fact.
Yes.
That there is no more to analyze other than the fact that if you don't surround a superstar with other star players
right.
that can help produce
100%.
With him, you're going to have big problems.
Took a chance on Ladd and Chimer. Yes.
Does anybody in the world know what it feels?
And the young talent on that team has not. Look, Bailey's having a great year. Having a very good year.
Right.
A great year. Having a very good year. Tavares had 5 goals in the last 2 games.
Yeah, Bailey stinks, though.
Tavares is
lousy.
You know, best 50.
Does anybody know
the
better what it feels like to be in the basement than an Islander / Jet fan?
This year, yeah.
No, anybody. Does anybody know what it feels like to be?
It feels horrible.
I mean,
especially
can you hear this?
You,
do you know, like, the basement is the bottom, right? Like, the floor's beneath you. Like, there's nobody below you but the floor. And the only thing to do after that is what? Dig. You know how to dig. You were in the Army. You built bridges. So the only thing you could do is start to dig your grave, which is basically what the Jets and the Islanders have
done. My grandmother used to have an old saying, spit in the sky, it's going to come back to you. You keep it up. If Rant is out for a significant amount of time, you're in a lot of trouble.
Because
your king, Hank, just lit up 9 goals in 2 games. So keep it up. Look at that. They brought him in. Rant had 10 saves yesterday. Got hurt. They brought in Hank.
Right.
You're a Hall of Famer king. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to give you all. I'm gonna give you
king
that.
Henry. Yeah.
King Henry.
What about him?
First shot on goal. Lit up 5 goals yesterday. And he let up 4 the game before.
He did not come through.
Lost.
He
right.
did not come through.
And if you have to run him in the playoffs, if Rant is out for a significant amount of time, you guys are going to be in trouble.
Well, he is the number one. Who's the number one goalie for the Rangers, though?
Yeah, but guess what?
Well, who's the number one goalie?
Hank's got to be the number one guy. But Rant plays like a number one guy.
He does. He's an excellent goalie.
Yes.
That's right.
And he's young.
The Rangers have proven that they could win.
Because they're paying Hank all this money.
Who's
look what the Islanders just did to Halak. They just said, see you later.
You know, too bad they didn't put him on waivers now. The Rangers probably pick him up as a backup.
I was hoping the Rangers would.
So we don't know if he's hurt for a length, if he's going to be out for a length of time yet.
Right.
In the last 25 years, you're an Islander Met and Jet fan. In the last 25 years, can you tell me how many titles those three teams have combined? In the last 25 years.
The Jets?
Mets and Islanders. Those are your teams.
Yeah.
How many titles between the three of them?
The Islanders, none. The Jets?
Right, zero.
What are you going
to do? So you better hold on. You better hold on.
Time out, folks.
And Harvey and Steven Matz deliver you to the promised land.
The guy that's
that is your only hope
the way
now.
Is a Jet fan, too.
Is the only
and
hope.
Don't hide it.
Oh, I am a Jet fan.
Yeah, of course you are.
But I'm not a Jet and Islander fan.
Yeah, but if
I'm a Jet Ranger fan.
I'm going to say it right now, like I said. If your team has to rely on Hank the rest of the season,
that's right.
And he's playing the way he's playing, and you guys collapse, then you're going to be ready to jump off your roof on suicide watch, my friend.
You know what?
You're the same way
I'm
going to
root for a little disco, Brian. Can we get a little disco on here?
You just better hope.
That's how I feel about the Rangers. Despite you trying to dump on my parade.
You just better hope.
You're picking on
Hank
King Henry
around.
Just because he's having the worst season of his career. And as a Jet fan, I will say that I hope that King Henry does not follow Darrelle Revis in falling off the planet of success at his position.
Because he is your number one guy on that team. Without a star-studded goalie that he is, you guys are going nowhere.
I have noticed that when you do mention his name, you do smile. Like it does bring happiness
it
to
does,
you.
Because I have no happiness.
The fact that he's not as successful.
I am not
as
enjoying hockey this year, like I usually enjoy hockey. After last year, look, I said on this radio show numerous times. Last year, getting out of the first round, going to the second round, was my Stanley Cup. That was my Stanley Cup last year. So what happened this
I know,
year?
I really miss,
I'm looking for.
I understand why the Panthers fired Gallant now. Because I think I would have fired him, too, if I owned the Panthers.
Yeah.
I would have had no tolerance for losing to the Islanders.
Gart Snow's a great guy. He meets with the Booster Club. I'm in the Booster Club. Gary Harding, Claire's wife, is the president of the Booster Club. She's a great
care.
Job. Okay, I know you
She's
know.
A Bailey fan, too.
Yeah,
he stinks,
she,
by the way.
Yeah. But as Gart Snow told me, I asked him a question. He told me.
What did he tell you?
We're not happy with 100 points.
You're not getting 100
points. We want to get 100.
I hope you're happy with 75 points.
Deeper and deeper and deeper.
I hope you're happy with last place.
Whatever happened and whatever worked out, it's not
working. You're always a failed
miserable. Let me say another thing to all the Islander fans out there and the ownership, if they're listening. You better pay that man, JT, when the time comes.
The $12 million man.
He's getting $11 to $12 million a year, and you better pay him.
I will say this in all honesty about the Rangers. The one thing that bothers me about Lundqvist struggling between the pipes is that the Rangers are actually finally, while he's here in New York playing, one of the best offensive teams in the league. And they're doing this without even having one man. If you look at the top 9-10 teams in terms of scoring, the Rangers, unlike these other teams like Philadelphia or the Blackhawks or Columbus or Pittsburgh, the Rangers are doing it without a guy in the top 30 individually in scoring. So the Rangers have balanced scoring throughout their lineup.
But what's Grabner?
And they're averaging the most goals per game.
Grabner's having a career.
And now that he's got a team that can score goals and take the pressure off him between the pipes, he's actually giving up more goals than usual. Far more. And Ranta might have more big wins out of his 10 than Hank has out of his 18.
Well, what do you think? You're the Ranger fan. You go to all the games.
Right.
What do you think the problem is with Hank?
I personally think, and I've said this for a number of years now, since they lost the Stanley Cup, that I just think he lacks, and people might disagree, but I think he lacks that mental toughness. He is not a guy that puts goals behind him and just moves on. And he showed that in Game 2 against the Kings out in L.A. Took a 4-2 lead into the third period, and the Kings scored a questionable goal to cut the lead to 4-3. I thought it was a good goal. I really didn't have a big problem with it. And he thought they should have called goalie interference, and he never got past
it.
Now, somebody could say, well, yes, he did. But he didn't, because 5 minutes later when they came back from a commercial, he was still talking to a referee about it. That is the sign of not putting something behind you and moving forward. It's like the same thing like with team sports. Good teams put bad losses and great wins behind them. They move on to the next one. You got to get that next one. And on his own, in terms of good goals, bad goals, he just, at certain times in big spots, he fails to put things behind him and move forward and stay headstrong and just refuse to give up that next goal. And as dominant as he's been in the regular season, Hall of Fame goalie, no question.
I'll give you that. He is.
Gold medal, silver medal, his career accomplishments are excellent.
30,
he became the all-time, the winningest European goalie. He's had a great career. But when it comes to playoff hockey, he's the opposite of Mike Richter.
No cup. No cup.
Mike Richter was more clutch
and the way
in the right spots. And not just when he won the Stanley Cup. He had a couple of big-time playoff series wins after that against the Devils in 97. They weren't necessarily expected to beat the Devils that year. And, you know, but with the Rangers, you only had to do it once because every spring you remind me. One in 75 years. This year you'll be like one in 76 years. So he was the one guy to deliver. And, you know, and you couldn't really, if you want to see the definition of clutch, you could watch the way he played between the pipes.
See, now me growing up, Billy Smith was my guy, right? I like Billy. He's whacking a guy in the leg with the stick. He's pushing. You know, it was a different. It's different now because they wouldn't allow that stuff going on right now. Your guy.
Yeah, he was a nasty, dirty goalie. That's fine.
But
there's been a few of those. He's got all the history. Yeah.
Yeah. But guess what?
What?
Your guy is Richter because he in '94 he won you a cup.
Right.
So he's your goalie. So Hank. Your king, he's not actually your king right now until he actually wins.
I personally don't.
This is what you got to deal with.
I don't necessarily like the fact that they. Listen, you gave him.
They idolized.
The nickname that he has is fine. But the nickname leaves him open to ridicule, especially from Devil fans. I don't know the fans, if they're older guys like you that want to bring up Billy Smith, who made himself a Hall of Famer by winning those
Brodeur.
Stanley Cups the way Terry Bradshaw made himself a Hall of Famer by winning those Super Bowls.
Right.
But a lot of Devil fans will jump all over Lundqvist as soon as he loses in the playoffs because they call him the king, and Brodeur's the one with the three Stanley Cups and every record
in
goaltender history.
You're talking about quiet. How about the Devils? You're talking about teams that aren't talked about?
I'll give you one last thing.
You always bust my chops about the Islanders. How about the Devils?
Right. What about them?
You never hear anything about
because
that.
Because they're insignificant in this area. They mean nothing to me.
You don't even hear about it on the air.
They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They held their parades in a parking lot when they went. Listen.
Horrible.
They should move. I think the Islanders should move, but they should move.
They're not going to move.
All right. There's only one team in New York. And they play in Jersey, right? I'm going to give
the
you one last
thing. Brooklyn,
have you seen the commercial on NHL Network or NBC Sports where they go through all these legendary NHL hockey players and they tell you their nickname? You know, like the Golden Jet, the Great One. Have you seen the commercial?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen who's in the commercial?
Yeah. Is Bossy's in that, though, is it?
No, he's not.
I thought he was.
No, he's not. Have you seen the commercial or no?
Yeah, I have.
They talk about the Hammer, Dave Schultz, all these guys.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
And okay, and Lundqvist is in it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, next time you see the commercial, I want you to stop on every player that they show, and you're going to see that of all the guys, whether it's 7, 8, 9, 10 guys they show, everybody in that commercial with a nickname, St. Patrick with Patrick Waugh, the Dominator with Hasek, Great One, Moose for Messier. All the players in that commercial have won the Stanley Cup except for one. And that's Lundqvist. And that's what makes it unacceptable to me. Like, it's almost like subconscious. It's like pressure put on him. Like, why are you putting him in that commercial? They didn't put Ovechkin in that commercial. He's arguably the greatest goal scorer ever.
Right, ever.
Like, why would you put one guy in the commercial that never won a Stanley Cup? I don't understand it. I don't care to talk about it. And for me, you know, he's never going to be my guy unless he wins a Stanley Cup. And he probably wouldn't be anyway because Richter won the first one.
He won it for you. And I think the reason why they put the media does this same thing what they did to Revis. They put him on the pedestal. The only thing Revis won a Super Bowl with.
I will
New
say
England.
This much: Henrik Lundqvist is a much more accomplished goalie to me. If I take all the overhype and overvaluedness out of it, he is a much, much more accomplished goalie and Hall of Famer to me than Darrell Revis is as a defensive back. Like, you can compare Lundqvist, like Dan Marino is compared to the greatest quarterbacks.
Lundqvist did take it to the Stanley Cup.
Dan Marino is compared to the greatest quarterbacks of all time,
right.
And rightfully so, despite not winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
And you could do that with Lundqvist, with other goalies, despite maybe not winning.
I agree with you.
Because you could do the same thing with Tony Esposito and Eddie Jacobs,
right.
But they didn't win Stanley Cups.
Right.
But I don't care what anybody says. Darrell Revis does not match up with Deion Sanders or Troy Polamalu or Rod Woodson or Ronnie Lott or any of those
guys. I would take any one of those guys over him any time.
And that actually I give Lundqvist credit for. He's not – I don't think it's as bad as the way they overvalued Revis. And now you're seeing that. And wait till he makes the switch to safety and he's further exposed for not being a big hitter because you got to be able to hit in the open field as a safety. And he's not a playmaker, which is – was always my biggest problem with him at D-back. He's not. He's no Deion Sanders.
He's no Deion Sanders.
He's no Charles Woodson.
He's no way.
Nah. Enough of that.
Now, just real quick.
Go ahead.
Steelers 9, Colts 7. Update on this game right now.
The Steelers are winning,
In Kansas City, 9-7. It's a low scorer. Got all field goals for Pittsburgh.
All right.
And Kansas City got that touchdown. Hey, now, let's get to this game today. That was phenomenal. Did you see that Dallas Cowboys, the earlier game, right, versus the Green Bay Packers? The game was, Green Bay jumped out, I think it was it 21-3, I think
21-3, and then 28-13, right?
28-13.
The fourth quarter was exciting.
The last 2 minutes of that game.
Unbelievable. The field goals.
I've never, like, we've talked about this a little bit this on the way here. I've never seen 3 50-yard field goals in a 2 minute span like that before. It was just, I was at the edge of my
seat. And one was 56 yards. Yeah. That's unreal, right?
One was 56 yards. It was unreal. I was like, hold. That's the reason why I'm wearing this Aaron Rodgers jersey that I'm wearing right now.
I thought you were wearing it because the Jets stink and the Islanders stink. That's what I thought.
Well, let's, okay.
Because you need another team to root for.
Look, I have Tavares, baby.
My condolences.
If you want to talk about hockey.
You better hope
the Jets
never
do
lose,
stink. And what the Jets did, I could sit here for an hour talking about the Jets. Because I still don't know why they keep putting Fitzpatrick in there. I don't even want to get into the Jets right now.
We won't. You know what? Because on the car ride home and on the phone, as usual, we'll have plenty of time to rip them apart all offseason leading up to the draft.
I understand you want to give Todd Bowles another year. That's great. Does he deserve another year? Let him get his third year and see what happens. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They didn't make the playoffs this year. Right. And this year, to me, was, we're talking about the Islanders regressing. The Jets really regressed this year.
Before I bring in our guest, I'll give you one last thing with the Jets, something to chew on. The Jets are the only team in NFL history. All right, you could just go from the merger, which was, 1970 going forward, but even in NFL history, but mostly from the merger because they had all the different playoff rounds. All right, they're the only team ever to go to back-to-back title games and then miss the playoffs six straight years.
And those six,
no less, 5 straight years. Right. When they did it last year, I told you that one. Right. Now it's 6 straight years, so they got some streak going. And that is all about a lack of drafting and a lack of player development. Yeah, and that is the bottom line with
the Jets. And the horrible drafting. And in those 6 years, the New England Patriots have gone to the championship game every year.
So how about that?
Yeah.
The Jets go to back-to-back title games. Me and you were sitting there. Here's our chance to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Right? And even when they didn't even when they didn't beat Pittsburgh, we're like, well, you know what?
We're building for the future.
We're going to get back there.
They self-destructed
the team. And since that moment that they lost to Pittsburgh, they've missed it every year. And like you said, the Patriots have gone to the title game or further every year since.
Every year since.
And now you know why I don't even bother waving a white flag. I just gave up. I'm indifferent. I'm numb. They can't hurt me anymore.
Probably going to the Super Bowl again this year.
Nah.
Probably going to win again.
Brian, we got a guest ready? Okay, so folks, we got a trio tonight. A lot of baseball talk. But let me welcome in Howie Carpenter from SiriusXM. He's also works for Major League Baseball. He's been an official scorer. He's going into his 19th year. There is no better man you want to talk about Hall of Fame baseball than Howie Carpenter tonight. Howie, how you doing? Welcome in.
Hey, good to be with you guys. Nice discussion. You should have kept it going.
No, it's okay. I wanted to get you in before because we're already 20 minutes in. But we were talking about the Islanders, and then we talked a little bit about the Rangers. And I know you take part in a lot of research with different books. You've written a lot of books. And one of the books that you wrote recently was on the Rangers. Why don't you tell the folks about the book that's coming out about the Rangers that you're doing research in right now?
Yeah, that's called The Rangers by the Numbers, an historical look at the Rangers through the jersey numbers. And, we're going to touch on each number and the history and a lot of the stories that go along with it. I mean, starting out with the ones who are the goaltenders, I mean, some interesting stuff in there that people are going to find fascinating about the history of the team.
Right. I mean, they've actually, for a team that has only won, as my partner likes to remind me, one Stanley Cup in the last 75 years plus. But
right.
You're talking not only, currently with Henrik Lundqvist, but Mike Richta had a stellar career with them. Eddie Jockman, very similar to the way Lundqvist is going through things now. Those early 70s Rangers team that just never got the job done in terms of winning the Cup. Eddie Jockman, another Hall of Fame goalie in the same boat with Lundqvist. And even good old number 34, John Van Beesbrouck, was a big-time goalie in the mid-80s, won a Vezina in 1986, and the only reason he couldn't pull off the big upset and get to the Cup was because Patrick Roy stood in his way. So those are some of the guys you'd be talking about for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also there's 4 goalies in their history that have been on the ice when they won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
One of them never played in a regular season game.
That was the owner or the coach, right? Was it Lester Patrick?
That was the year Lester Patrick played only one game. Lauren Chabot got hurt.
Right.
They brought in Joe Miller on loan from the New York Americans, who actually played at the Garden, their home games.
Wow.
And he played the last three, lost game three.
Right.
And he shut out the Montreal Maroons 1-0 in game four. And then they won game five and won the Stanley Cup. And that was it for his Ranger career.
There you go. And I wouldn't have known that. So folks,
I think, stuff like that fans will find fascinating. It's like little stories that go along. He did a lot of loaning in those days because they didn't carry a backup goalie.
Right.
So a lot of times they would, if the practice goalie from the home team was in the stands, they would lob the visiting team, if the starting goalie got hurt, they would lobby for the guy to play. That's why Patrick played that night, because Montreal didn't allow him to use the practice goalie in the stands.
Right.
Every game in that final was in Montreal because of the circus, which ironically now is coming to an end, but
yeah.
The circus took dates up at the Garden, so they played every game of the final in Montreal.
Yeah, the better part of their first three Stanley Cups were always played on the road, right? I mean, all of them. They played the 1 year in 1940, the last one before 94. They played the bulk of them in Toronto, right?
Well, the ones they won.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost one where they lost two games. They lost two games at the Garden with a practice goalie that had to come in.
Uh-huh.
Also for Gump Worsley a couple of times. He got hurt.
So the book you're writing with the history of the numbers, you're going to be telling stories about old-time Rangers and even, like, last 30 years. Like, even, like, you go back into the 80s with, like, Tommy Sandstrom, number 28, or Mark Pavlich, number 16. You're going to...
If a Ranger wore the sweater, he's going to be in the book.
All right.
Well, you got Phil Esposito and Gretzky and those guys. I guess a
sure. Gretzky's got his own chapters. He only won ever won 99.
77 for Espo. I don't know if anybody ever won that.
I'm going to tell you one good thing the Rangers did do. It has nothing to do with any hockey players or anything. Is with Steve. They just did. They gave Stephen McDonald his own number. Right. Tribute the whole thing. That was very nice what they did to him.
That was nice.
Diehard season ticket holder. You know, he loved the Rangers.
Right. Yeah. He passed away, but they always had the award
in the book, too. At least give
101, right?
104.
104. Right,
and that was his detective shield number.
Yeah, shield number. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question now. Ranta is, to me, I think he's having a good year. He got hurt the other day. Hank comes in. You're king. 9 goals in 2 games. Come on. What do you think this guy's going to be able to put the team on his back again? And well, I mean, he probably doesn't have to, but he's a key component to you guys going to the Stanley Cup this year or going deep into the playoffs.
And well, first of all, he's not my king. My king is when I go to Burger King and order king size.
There you go. See, Howie's probably like me in this regard.
Yeah.
With the nickname.
There's a lot of guys that love him, though.
And number two, he doesn't ask for that nickname. That nickname was given to him by media guys. He doesn't go around asking it or flaunting it.
I almost think it's unnecessary pressure put on him at this point.
It is. Look, he's on the downside. You have to face up to that. He's not going to steal all these games anymore. And plus, their defense has been lousy. You see how open Montreal was last night? It was incredible. Pacioretty could have had a cup of coffee and then put the goal in. Please.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't knock guys away in front of the net. They lack a physical presence, especially on the back line.
Yeah,
they don't hit anybody in front of the net. It's like, here, have a goal. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the lack of physical grit has me concerned.
But the one thing
I said before with Hank is that now this team is finally capable of producing a lot of goals. They're the highest scoring team per game. And like I was telling John before, they don't even have a guy in the top 30 in individual scoring. So the scoring is balanced. So I'm just hoping, I understand guys like Brodeur. You know, he won his last Stanley Cup. He was 30 years old. But there's been guys in their later 30s, like Tim Thomas was 36 or 37.
Yeah.
So you'd like to think that Lundqvist keeps himself in good shape. You'd like to think that he can, I personally just think that he needs to hit a stride in the playoffs, which he's capable of. And I really just think it comes down to mental toughness in key spots. That is it. If this team produces offensively, this should be his best chance to win. Although, unlike other years, this year, and I don't know why, but this division is unusually tough because you got four teams with 57 plus points right now. We're only like halfway through the season, right?
Yeah, but Derek, you think this team is as good defensively as they were a couple years ago when they went to the finals?
Well, I mean, they're a little older with Staal and Girardi and McDonough.
Staal's not the same player. Staal's lost a step.
Yeah, well,
he's had an off year, you ask me. McDonough, as good as he is terrible on the point, on the power play. How many times does the puck get past him and then there's an odd man rush shorthanded?
No,
because they play a one-man point, and he's not a leech who can keep the puck in the zone. have that skill. That's not his skill. And, yeah, you say they score goals, but their power play is inconsistent, especially at home. The other night, it was ridiculous. It was like the ice campaign.
Well, that's why they lost to Toronto.
They did nothing with the power play.
I agree with that. The game against Toronto, they lost because they did nothing on the power play.
Nothing.
And Toronto produced two.
A five-minute power play.
But, Howie, this is the first time that their power play has been as proficient as it's been since probably when they won the Stanley Cup or in that mid-90s. I mean, they're one of the top five or six power play units, and they haven't had that for a long time.
But it's only on the stat sheet. Do you fear them at the point? Do you fear a guy taking a shot at the Rangers?
We've seen them go through streaks where they're winning games. A lot of times they're on the road, but there was a streak in there recently before the little slide where they were scoring a ton of power play goals, and they were scoring goals when power plays expired where they weren't getting credit for it. I don't care about statistics, but they were moving and generating and scoring goals anyway. So
they were playing better defense and blowing out the game.
No.
Yeah.
This is what they're stuck with, Howie. They paid Girardi. They paid Stahl. They paid McDonough.
I would have brought back Girardi. I would have bought him out. I think they need a defenseman in a trade. Somebody physical somehow.
So, Howie, you're taking the trade deadline. They're going to get a defenseman.
I think that's what they need. They need some physical defenseman back there because, as I said, Stahl's taking a step back. Yeah, McDonough's good, and Shea is still learning. At least he's got potential.
Yeah, he's young.
He's got upside.
Big upside, I think.
Yeah, but the other guys, Girardi, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of him the rest of the year. Guy, you know, he tries hard. I give him credit. But he's not the physical presence they need back there.
Yeah, Girardi's game is positioning because he's not fast, but positioning, and he blocks a ton of shots. I mean, he does.
Yeah.
And that's part of his injury history at this point because he's taken so much damage through that. And, the game they want to – see, all I expect from a guy like Girardi, and I actually expected a lot more from Klein, who's had a bad season. Klein should be their biggest physical presence, and he's not nearly that.
But at least
against Philly on the road, when they won that game after they had lost to Buffalo, there was a hit that Girardi threw on Wayne Simmonds on the back check. And he sent him flying helmet off down to the ice. And I'm not saying you're going to lay guys out all the time, but my problem with the Ranger defensemen is I just don't see enough banging, especially down below the goal line when teams are forechecking on them. You got to deliver the body physically to slow people down.
They're not winning the battles and the grinding. Yeah. They don't have the grinders that are winning those battles.
No, I agree with you. But this is the defense they're stuck with. Now, I believe that Gorton is searching. I believe the GM is searching. If he can work a trade that fits financially within the salary cap and he can add a big-name defenseman. And I've heard it since back in the offseason about Kevin Shattenkirk from St. Louis.
Right.
Now, if they work a deal and pull that off by the deadline and he can get it done under the cap, I'm sure he will.
That'd be huge.
But if he doesn't, I got to be honest with you, Howie. There are times with this team, even the defense as constructed, there are times, and sometimes it's only 20 or 30 or 40 minutes within a game, like the third period against Columbus on the road. There are times where this team, when they're moving the puck and shooting and forechecking and doing their job positioning-wise, that I know they can play with any team. And they've shown
they can.
I think it's a 60-minute effort that they lack.
But it's up to their defensemen to make the smart decisions out of their zone. That's where they make a lot of their mistakes.
Yeah.
With this system, it's quick, quick, quick.
Right.
Except they got to be sure that a guy's there when they're throwing it in the middle of the ice in their own zone. And they do that a lot.
No, I agree.
Teams look for that pass, that cross-ice stuff that they like to do. Teams are looking for that, sitting on that half the time.
Yeah.
So they got to come up with something different when it's not going.
Yeah. I actually agree with you also on McDonough. I almost feel like sometimes when he does have some good games, he gets a little overhyped in his play. I actually thought for the All-Star team, if they needed a defenseman, I actually thought that for what he's done in 40 games, I thought Nick Holden deserved the spot. I think he's been pretty good overall, and he's had at least. You know the way you saw Kevin Klein score some big goals last year and 2 years ago?
Right.
He's scored the big goals from the point this year, and he's had some big points overall.
He's had a couple of off games where he's inconsistent and gets beat. But otherwise, he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Having a great year out of Grabner. He's having a great year.
Yeah, I mean,
you
got to
ride that
goals.
While it continues.
he gave me, you know what's funny? Grabner's given me 10 goals more already than I expected.
I told you at the beginning, I started laughing. I mean, he was at the Islanders. I love the guy. He's a great guy. I say he's going to give you, if you're lucky, if you get, 15, 16 goals.
I believe the quote from you was, enjoy grabbing the missing on every breakaway. That's what I heard. And you didn't say no 15 or 16 goals.
I'm saying it now. Hey, he's got 18.
You saw him enough with the Islanders, so that's you got to respect his opinion.
Yeah.
All right, Howie, we're going to take a quick break, and then we come back. It's all Baseball Hall of Fame. We got some questions for you, maybe quickly on the Mets and Yankees, but we're going to do Hall of Fame from there to the end of the show. All right?
Okay.
Thank you, folks, so stick around. Howie Carpenter and his baseball knowledge will be pressed upon you after these messages. Come on back.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, welcome back. 631-888-8811 if you want to call during the Hall of Fame talk. Our special guest host tonight, along with Sweeney and the Waz, is Howie Carpenter from Sirius XM and Major League Baseball. And Howie, before we get to the Hall of Fame talk, we got spring training coming up pretty soon. It starts right around my birthday, Valentine's Day, pitches and catches and all that. But you also got a couple of books revolving around baseball. The first being, it's already out, down in the corner, about Kiner's Corner. Maybe you could talk about, my buddy wants to ask you a couple of questions, and maybe you could talk about that book a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Howie, what do you think of the Mets staff this year? I know Familia's going to be out, probably suspended, even though he got off on his charges, probably suspended for 30 games. But would Wheeler coming back, and if Harvey's healthy, Mats, Syndergaard, DeGrom, do they have one of the best five-man rotations in the league?
Yeah, healthy-wise, sure. Healthy. I don't think there's anybody that matches up with it.
Nobody.
Considering the potential. But, you know, obviously health is a factor. Now you got, you know, I don't want to be a open a Pandora's box, but Syndergaard went through the year injury-free. You got to hope that, you know, maybe this is a guy who's just going to stay healthy and for the most part. He did have a little bit of an elbow thing toward the end of the year, but he was great in the wild card game, that's for sure. And, you know, he's going to head the staff. Harvey's playing for money. So he's got to come back and have a big year. I like Mats. I think he's still got to develop maybe another pitch. But if he's healthy, it gives you balance for the lefties because you got left-hand hitters in your division. So, yeah, I mean, you know, look, if their starters pick up the slack, the bullpen won't be relied on as much as it's been in past years.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right there, yeah. Tell us a little about the – well, Down on the Corner has been out for a while. Tell us a little about your new book you got.
Yeah, it's like it's a trivia. It's a fun book. It's 100 Yankee trivia questions, stuff maybe that people haven't unearthed before. And it's broken up into four chapters. First chapter's easy, and then they get more difficult as you go on. And, you know, you test your knowledge, and there's some interesting facts in there, and they tied in some stuff and, you know, really dug deep to find 100 Yankee trivia questions. Name of the book is So You Think You're a New York Yankees Fan by Skyhorse Publishing, coming out in April.
Wow.
All right, so Howie, I was a bigger I was a diehard Yankee fan as a kid, so we're talking about the 70s into the 80s.
Yeah, everything's in there. We'll cover the whole deal.
Give me a question from my era, whether it's Munson's era with Pinella and those guys, or even Ricky Henderson and Dave Winfield, that time frame with Mattingly. Give me a question that I should get right. Let me see.
You mean in the 80s?
Yeah, anywhere in the 70s and 80s that I should get if I'm really a Yankee fan. Let me see if I get it.
All right, in 1986, Mattingly led the American League in hits. Do you remember how many hits he had?
I'm going to say 236.
You were close. It was 238.
Wow. 238. And am I correct in saying that that's the year he should have won his second MVP?
Yes.
Didn't he? Is that the year he had seven? He had seven homers in seven games. One of those.
That
he
was 87.
It was 87.
He had over 50 doubles in 86, though. I know that.
He set two marks that year. He set the grand slam mark in 87.
Right.
You know, I was a big. I love the Mets, but you know what? I was always Don Mattingly was one of my guys. I loved that
guy.
He was
great.
Like, I imitated his stance, and just Mattingly was my guy. I had my Mets stuff on, and I just loved. Mattingly was a guy everybody loved. Just a shame he never won. You know, it's the only thing he ever won.
He came along at an unfortunate time, sort of like Mel Stottlemyre. I wrote a book called Yankees Essential, and one of the chapters was the M&M Boys, and it was a man of Maris. It was Mel and Mattingly.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Both had similar careers with the Yankees. Both were terrific players, just short of Hall of Famers, and came around at the wrong time, although Stottlemyre did get in the World Series.
Howie, was 86, was that the year that Wade Boggs sat out at the end of the year to win the batting title, or was that a different year?
No, that was the year. Mattingly at 352. I think Boggs at 354, something like that.
And Mattingly had over 50 doubles that year, too, right?
He had tremendous numbers.
It was amazing.
For a 4 or 5 year period. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Why do I? I agree with you.
So I was going to ask you, one of my first Hall of Fame questions I was going to say, you know, because I know that Posada and Bernie Williams had great careers. Munson was my guy as a catcher.
Munson,
but out of those Munson four guys, you would say Mattingly by far, right?
Mattingly and Munson belong.
Oh, you think Munson also, too?
Yeah, I do. I thought he was one of the top catchers of his era. He was known as one of the best catchers in the American League.
Right, I thought so.
Second to bench as a hitter overall.
Yep.
He didn't hit for as much power as Fisk, but he was a better clutch hitter than Fisk.
He drove and runs and hit for average, though.
How many times did he go to right field when you needed a runner on second, two out to get the run in?
Slapped it in right.
It was like clockwork.
And now I was a young guy, but I followed catchers because I, you know, collecting baseball cards, and I grew up, I was a catcher. Would it be fair of me to say that the only reason Munson didn't win more Gold Gloves was because of Jim Sundberg? Because he was tremendous with Texas, and he won a lot of Gold Gloves.
He didn't win Gold Gloves because his arm was shot later in his career.
Okay.
They held that against him with the stolen base.
All right.
And they didn't measure the Gold Gloves on his leadership.
Right.
His leadership was Hall of Fame quality. And he won an MVP as a catcher. That doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, he's the only Yankee jersey I have at home. Is a pinstripe.
Drove 100 runs and he didn't even hit 20 homers.
Right.
That tells you how clutch a hitter he was. And don't give me this crap that RBI doesn't mean that much. That's garbage.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Driving 100 runs, you win in some games.
I agree with you on Munson. I definitely agree with you on Mattingly. Definitely should be in there.
Absolutely. He was considered the best player in the game for a 3-4 year period.
Yeah,
not every player gets that recognition.
Yeah, the mid-80s, he was truly dominant.
Awesome.
If it wasn't for that back injury, forget about it. And he still put up, what, 9-10 Gold Gloves? Because his defense was flawless.
Yeah, his defense was
flawless. I have a question in there about Ricky and Mattingly, the first year they played together.
Okay.
How many runs that Mattingly accounted with Ricky on base? Meaning, how many times did he drive him in?
Well, didn't Ricky score like 143 runs or something like that?
It was 145. He drove Ricky in 55, I think, was the number.
Yeah. I mean, Ricky, he scored
that
a ton
one time
of runs.
Ricky, when it was Ricky scoring when Mattingly was up.
Right.
One time Mattingly was up and Ricky scored on a balk.
Oh, all right.
So that didn't even count in his total.
Yeah, because Henderson, he stole so many bases that it took, and he only played like 4 years with the Yankees, right? So it took Jeter his entire career to pass him all the time.
He was on base, They should have been co-MVPs that year because, you know, Mattingly won the MVP, but Ricky, you know, was the catalyst.
In 85, yeah.
They had a great offense in 85.
Right. Now, in the book Down in the Corner, you know, you were nice enough to sign a copy for my dad. So when I was visiting the house, I went through and I did catch one of the chapters where they were talking about Pete Rose didn't want to spoken to. Someone came down and got him, so he went for an interview. Can you talk about Down on the Corner with Kindness Corner and the whole mission with putting that book together?
Yeah, well, we interviewed a lot of the people behind the scenes. That Pete Rose story, Rose was at the locker after that game.
Right.
And talking to media guys, and the producer was told by Ralph to go get Rose. So this is a new producer. He was kind of like, you know, crapping in his pants. I got to get Pete Rose after this game. So he actually went behind the crowd where he was, and he put a stool there, and he got up on the stool, and he yelled to Rose, he wanted to come on Kiner's show, and he came on. That's what that story was all about. But that was Ralph. I mean, Ralph was revered, and, you know, guys respected him, you know, greatly. There was one story in there where when Koufax no-hit the Mets in 62 at Dodger Stadium, and Ralph was in the dugout waiting to try and get an interview with Koufax, and so was the Dodger broadcaster. And Koufax came in the dugout, and the Dodger broadcaster said, "You can go to Ralph first." That's how much respect he had.
That's pretty good.
That's great.
Stuff like that.
Now, in that book, did you touch on, and I'm not sure, maybe I researched it or just read it somewhere else, but Ralph Kiner, because a lot of guys who are former ball players, a lot of times they'll, not all the time, but a lot of times they'll go to work for the teams that they used to play for. But yeah. Unlike other guys, Kiner came to the Mets. What's the story behind him coming to the Mets and working as a broadcaster?
Well, he had had some experience in the minor leagues, and I'm not sure it was Reingold or somebody who ran the Mets broadcasting brought him in, because
right.
they already hired two professionals in Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy. They wanted an ex-ball player. They wanted to be the ones to start using ex-ball players.
Right.
He had already shown he had some skills because he worked for Bing Crosby at his Pro-Am golf tournament.
Okay.
He actually did some of the interviews. So they saw he had interviewing skills. They brought him in, and they did this Kiner's Corner show, and he was also on the games. And that's how he got started.
And obviously,
he learned from Lindsey and Bob the nuances of broadcasting a game.
And what they do, they spent a lot of time doing TV and radio, like the three of them, they would rotate around or something like that?
Yeah, because they had to do both.
Right.
They have to, you know, and then there's the story of when, you know, Ralph would have to go down for the TV show, so he didn't do the later innings on radio a lot or even TV.
Right.
He went down early, and that was the game May 31st, 1964, the 23-inning game, the second game of the doubleheader.
Okay.
He went down in the eighth inning. He was down there for 15 innings. And then the producer felt terrible because Lindsey and Bob Murphy, they were doing the TV and radio by themselves, and they got no breaks during that 15-inning period.
That's pretty cool.
Is that wild? That's a wild story.
A lot of work for them, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's funny about Ralph Kiner is I'm not saying he's passed over in terms of the whole valuing of players through the history of the game, but I don't think a lot of people, especially young people today, I don't think a lot of people realize how many home run titles he won, you know, because his career was short, so you're not going to find him in the top 10, 20, 30 guys in terms of all-time home runs. So he had like 369 homers or whatever it was, but he won a home run title each of his first 7 or 8 years. I mean, the guy was a tremendous power hitter, and I just don't think that, I think people remember him more for things you're talking about with Kiner's Corner and working for the Mets, right?
Yeah, because he never got in the World Series.
Right.
He never got any exposure. You know, they were terrible teams he played on for that 10-year period.
Why did he retire at such a young age anyway?
I think he had back trouble.
Is that what it was, back issues?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
All right, so now regarding the Mets, since we touched on it with the Yankees and you felt Munson and Mattingly were Hall of Famers, what are your thoughts on Keith Hernandez's career and valuing that as a Hall of Fame career?
He's pretty close.
All right, because I personally don't. I don't think he is, but I think his defense might.
I think he's under the. He's a little short.
A little short, right?
A little short.
You could say, because that's how I feel too about it. I think his defense was tremendous. I mean, a lot of people argue who's better defensively. I thought Mattingly was a little better overall, but Hernandez was great.
I thought they were even.
Yeah.
I thought it was a wash.
Right.
Let me ask you a question about these other guys, like Bonds and Clemens, the steroid group. What do you think is going to happen with these guys? You know, McGuire's going to be there. I mean, McGuire's been up there. I mean,
I wouldn't put McGuire in if he didn't do one steroid.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
He's a one-dimensional player today.
Yeah.
That's not a Hall of Famer.
Just the home runs, right, yeah.
That's all he did.
He was a 258 hitter.
I think actually when him and Sosa had that thing, they were actually
Sosa was a better all-around player, though.
What?
Sosa was a much better all-around player, though.
Yes, I agree.
Though.
It brought
much.
Baseball back. Yeah, and I agree with you 100% on McGuire. He was, It was the Bash Brothers. I agree. It's all he did was home runs. That's all he did. But what about like Bonds and Clemens? What's going to happen with those guys? They're going to keep getting passed over, or they're going to actually think one day they'll actually put an asterisk in there and say steroid era?
I don't know. It depends on the attitude of the voters. I'm not a voter. I'm covering the sport professionally 37 years, and I don't vote.
Right.
But these guys vote. A lot of young guys coming in that kind of ignore, or I don't know. Some guys, you know, don't take their vote seriously enough. You know, I know that for a fact. You know, you hear a guy say, well, this guy's going to get in, so I won't vote for him. I'll vote for somebody else. I mean, to me, that's being irresponsible.
I agree with you.
Come on, please.
And then
they vote for a schlub, no disrespect. A guy who shouldn't even be lucky to buy a ticket to walk in the Hall of Fame, much less get inducted.
Right.
Like a guy, let's just say a guy like Curt Schilling didn't make a lot of fans with the sports writers, right? Because he said some horrible things to them, and he wasn't a nice guy. But if you look at his postseason record, he's phenomenal. Plus he played on a horrible Phillies team. He did great with Boston. I mean, look, I'm not a personal fan of the guy, but I believe the guy should be a Hall of Famer.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
I think he'll ever get in.
I think he gets a lot of votes because of two series, beating the Yankees both times. Everyone thinks that's like sacred. So let me tell you something. This is my suspicion.
Okay.
My opinion only.
Right.
I'd like to know what he was doing the night of Game 6.
In terms of what he took to deal with his ankle problem?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Right? That's just an opinion.
Right.
I don't have any facts on it. But, I'm not saying that should stay in his whole career. But, I mean, just because he got the opportunity in postseason, he delivered in postseason. Why should his postseason be measured up against his whole career? He was good in the regular season.
200 wins.
I think. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jim Cott belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Jim Cott has 283 wins. He won 16 gold gloves. What's the problem?
Right.
Yeah, I agree much more.
Right, because he didn't win a Cy Young because they only gave it to one league when he won 25 games. He gave it to Koufax in 65. They only gave one.
Right.
And they split it up in 67. But the guy should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you with that 100%. I do. Yeah.
I mean, Schilling had, almost a 600 win percentage. He had 3,000.
He got a lot of exposure in the big spots. There's credit he delivered.
I mean, listen, he's 11-2 career in the postseason.
I know,
with a 2.2 ERA. I mean, the guy was just MVP in the World Series. He shared with Randy Johnson, and he won with the Red Sox.
But he did have
a
horrible...
I just think that puts him over the top in terms of being a Hall of Famer.
If Mariano Rivera gets out of the inning, he doesn't win the MVP.
You're right.
Well, that's correct.
So, you know,
Soriano would have been a hero, and Rivera would have closed it out.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that for Schilling's point of view, not Mariano.
Right.
No,
but that wouldn't have taken away from his postseason career record, though, is all I'm saying. It was monstrous.
That game.
I almost look at it the way I look, like, and I know there's a difference because Smoltz was a dominant starter, and he showed a proficiency as a closer. But John Smoltz was another guy, when I looked at his postseason, I was like, wow, this puts him over the top. You know, whereas Maddox and Glavin, like Glavin had the 95 series versus the Indians, but outside of that, him and Maddox paled in comparison in postseason play compared to, like, Smoltz. It was, like, mind-boggling how well he did for a team that historically lost every year almost.
You also got to remember, they get more opportunities nowadays
right.
to either fail or
succeed. No, they do. I understand that.
But I agree. I don't think Curt Schilling will ever get in the Hall of Fame because he made so many bad comments about sports writers, and
that shouldn't be the case.
No, I agree with you, but these guys just, like you said, they let these other schmucks walk in, and that's going to hold him back a lot.
But that's good about the debate. I think he's a Hall of Famer. You don't think he's a Hall of Famer. You wouldn't vote for him, and you think he is, right?
Yeah, I think he is because he played on the Phillies horrible at the time.
So, like, then Howie, you're with me on this guy Murray Chase. Like, you shouldn't ignore your if you have the privilege of voting, you should just vote for who you feel deserves the honor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Wally Matthews. I love talking boxing with him when I see him at the Garden, but he's not voting this year, and I'm just like, why would you do that? Just vote for who you feel deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's not a big deal. You don't have to vote for everybody. So
that's the way he feels. So
yeah,
he doesn't want to make a mockery of it, so he doesn't vote because he doesn't feel the process is fair.
You know, guys like me and you, I don't think you would make a mockery, neither would I. I would just vote for who I think. Like, personally, this is what I would do this year. I would certainly vote for Tim Raines. I would vote for Curt Schilling. And I would definitely vote for Vlad Guerrero and Pudge Rodriguez. Now, what's your feeling on the first-timers, Pudge and Guerrero?
I vote for them. I have no proof on Pudge, although the eye test says otherwise.
Right.
But have no proof that he did anything illegal,
right,
or cheated. So I only have the eye test. So the guy was a great catcher when I saw him play. You know, a lot of people said he, these are the stupid little knocks on things.
Right.
Oh, he called more fastballs so guys wouldn't run on him. The guy had a great arm. I mean, he could throw you out on a breaking ball anyway. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, he gunned out 45% of the base runs. That is extraordinary.
He used to call more fastballs so he pissed pitchers off. I mean, what, are you kidding?
No, I'm with you on that.
They want a guy to steal? You'd rather have him steal on you instead of having the guy throw him out? Crazy.
No, I got you.
I know Piazza's in there, but what do you think? Would you think Piazza should have deserved to be in there?
Yeah.
So do I, yeah.
He's the most dominant offensive catcher of his era, if not of all time.
Right.
And he was clean. At least
he played clean. You were around the locker room. What did you hear about Piazza in terms of like the way they talk about Bagwell?
I'll tell you what. He never wore a shirt. Now, if he knew he was doing steroids and acne was resulting from steroids, would you walk around without a shirt?
Right.
Right, but
he's not stupid.
Right, in terms of him and what
he never wore a shirt, so he was clear.
Right, so in terms of the suspicions around him, what did you hear being around the locker rooms? What did you hear about him?
You look at the way he hit the ball.
He
really strided. He was an upper body type hitter. He had a big upper body.
He had skinny legs.
And then when his legs started to go, his offense started to go away.
Right.
He would like hit it off a golf tee. That's how he hit a baseball.
He was another guy, big power to right center field.
He never used the bottom part of his body.
Right. Right, he was another guy, big power to right center field. He put a charge into that ball.
Because he could stay back on a ball, and he never overstrides.
All right.
That's why he hit a ball the opposite field a lot of times.
So I just wanted to clear, like,
had a debate about this last time.
I want to clear this up for you. You've heard a lot less about him than you would have heard about, like, let's say, Bagwell or Pudge Rodriguez, right, in terms of steroids or PEDs?
I don't think you can measure it. I heard the stories about Piazza. Remember the story that came out about him about being gay, and then he had to hold a press conference.
Yeah.
That he wasn't gay because somebody wrote an article that said a Mets superstar was gay.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't
right.
Piazza.
Right.
I read it in somebody's book or something. That Piazza said that when Clemens threw at him in the head, he went out and took karate lessons for like the next time he would have, like, if he saw Clemens. It was some stupid
thing. I just wish he would have went after him.
I saw that.
You saw that too?
Yeah, Clemens was probably on roid rage that night.
Yeah, Clemens 100% on roid rage. You know what pisses me off? Look, I know you guys are Yankee fans and everything, and look, I love Manly and everything, but the thing with Clemens, he hated the Yankees.
I hated Clemens when he was on the Yankees.
But this is the thing that makes, this is what makes me sick about some of this stuff in sports.
Right.
He hated the Yankees, he snubbed them and went to Toronto, he wanted Cy Young's up there, and then he wanted to win so bad that he actually ate his pride and came to the Yankees, and everybody loved him. He made a mockery out of the Yankees in the beginning when he was at Boston.
Right.
And that guy,
Steinbrenner had an obsession with him. If you're a Yankee fan, you're rooted for the uniform. You don't root for the person necessarily.
Exactly.
You're not rooting against your own team because you don't like the guy. You have no choice, but if you're a fan, that's the way it is. It doesn't mean you have to like the guy. Well, I know a lot of the Yankee fans that didn't like Reggie.
Yeah. I loved him when he first got there. Me and my sister, we were young. We loved the Reggie Ball, the whole World Series. When I got older and learned about the stuff with him and Munson, I kind of disliked him a little. That's all. I just didn't like that.
They wouldn't have won without him.
No, they wouldn't have.
Oh, he was big in 77.
Yeah.
We loved him when we were kids.
And he hit a big home run in 78 playoff game that goes unnoticed.
He was a phenomenal player.
He hit that ball dead center field off Stanley in the eighth inning.
Oh, all right, against Boston.
That was the fifth run.
Right, to make it 5-2 at the time before Gossage almost blew it.
5-4.
No, he got lucky against Yaz, and Nettles bailed him out catching that pop-up. All right, I'm going to go through some names. I want your thoughts on whether these guys are guys you would vote for if you were voting today for this year. Jeff Bagwell, you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
So you wouldn't vote for him?
No.
Okay.
So Bagwell's on the bubble.
Nice numbers. He didn't strike me as being the dominant first baseman of his era.
Let me ask you this.
Well, the reason I would vote for Bagwell is because of the 1,500 runs and 1,500 ribbies. I thought he put up tremendous power numbers.
Compila.
Yeah. He didn't play 20-some-odd years, but he had some big power numbers in his career.
I have a
guy. When you were watching him play, do you think this guy's a Hall of Famer?
Bagwell?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Exactly.
I thought he was one of the best first basemen hitting-wise, defensively,
let's say. Fred McGriff.
Let me ask you about Tim Raines. You think Tim Raines gets in this year?
He should. He had a .385 career on base.
You would vote for him. I would definitely.
I would definitely vote for him.
23 years. You don't compile a percentage. You know, you could say a guy's a compiler.
Right.
You don't compile a percentage. Percentage goes down with length. And he had .385 lifetime. That means he's getting on base almost 39% of the time for his career.
That's correct.
And then he stole 800 bases.
That's sick.
So
yeah,
that's
great.
An impact leadoff man to me.
He had the highest stolen base percentage of anybody with 500 or more steals also.
I'm surprised he's not in already.
Yeah. And he's one of only five. He's only five, and that's the end of that number. There's only five in the history with 800 or more steals.
The problem is, again, you have a new generation of voters, and they're kind of referring. It's incredible that they're deferring to the statistical data that is so inconclusive for one and is flawed for two. I mean, the ultimate zone, quickly, the ultimate zone rating in defense, I'm sure you've seen that, UZR,
is based on
putouts and assists.
Right.
So if you don't get assists, your UZR is not that great. But it doesn't take into account, like if you're Roberto Clemente, they don't go to third on you because you don't throw them, because you could throw them out.
Right.
So you don't get assists. So Roberto Clemente wouldn't have a good UZR.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the best ever. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. They're referring to these statistics for these guys that played before that a lot of them really never saw play. You know?
Howard, let me ask you this.
These guys play, and they're voting on these guys.
The guy got 20 wins his last year, Mike Mussina. Is he in? Does he deserve to get in?
I think he's short.
He's a little short.
I didn't think of him as a dominant pitcher of his year. He's very, very good.
He was very good, yeah.
He was a good solid pitcher.
I'll tell you a quick story, Aaron, about Mike Mussina. Somebody told me this. He was victimized by the steroid era because he wasn't a power pitcher.
Right.
He tried to fool you. So if he fooled you, and you didn't really get a great swing on it, you know, those flyouts that should have stayed in the ballpark, the steroid guys put them over the wall because it was an extra 5 to 6 feet.
Yeah, he had a beautiful curveball, but not a power pitcher.
And he got victimized by a lot of home runs because of that.
Right.
Shots that never would have went out of the park if the guy wasn't, you know, enhanced performance.
How about Trevor Hoffman?
No.
That's what I say, no.
I think,
Here's the last one for me, Edgar Martinez. I say no. I want to know.
I have to admit, I'm biased with a DH. A DH doesn't play the field.
I just say this
it's
much
not
about
the same
Edgar.
Thing.
Howie, this is what I say about Edgar. If you're a DH only, give me 3,000 hits. If you can't, let me just say this about Edgar with the steroid era. If you look at his power numbers, they are super extremely low. And then when the steroid era hits in the mid 90s, his power numbers go way up. It's like, if I'm going to be suspicious, let's be fair about being suspicious. I don't care how nice a guy he is.
All right, so in that vein, do you put Ortiz in the Hall of Fame?
Ortiz got caught
doing steroids.
He tested, right? That was just information that wasn't supposed to be. Yeah. You got to be fair about
it. He was on that list
of
100 guys. You got to
keep them out until you say we can vote them in. Then I'll put them all in if they fail. I don't really care.
Okay, steroids aside, do you put him in with these numbers?
If he didn't have steroids, I think he earned it at the end of his career.
I do.
Because Because he played in some World Series.
And his postseason also puts him over the top.
He got a lot of big hits in the postseason.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You know?
He also put up numbers in the regular season. So.
He was big against the Yankees when they came back to win. Because I'll never forget, Manny Ramirez had no homers and no ribbies in that comeback against the Yankees, and Ortiz had some real big hits.
I mean, even this year, what did he hit, 30-something homers this year, right?
He may even go down as the most noted Yankee killer of all time.
Yeah, maybe.
Howie, we're going to get you going again next time because we got spring training coming up. I'm sorry we only had an hour.
Good luck.
We are so
happy
that you spent the entire 40, 45 minutes with us. We thank you. We'll get the info on Twitter about your books, and we're going to get a copy for ourselves so we can brush up and have a further discussion next time with you, okay?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right, Howie, thank you, and I'll see you at the Garden soon. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Remember, the Rangers are on their way to the playoffs, and the Islanders, John Sweeney setting tee times for April 15th.
And we'll see what happens.
God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.